this sermon and these texts this morning. Pray you'd help everyone to be attentive. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would allow everybody to have an open heart to receive your word, to listen to the sermon and look at the scriptures and allow your spirit to do a work in us, Father. We love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, this morning I want to preach a very specific sermon. I'd like you to look, you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I'd like you to look at verse number 19. Look at what it says there. Verse number 19, the Bible says, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The Bible says that your body does not belong to you. If you look at verse 19, the last phrase there, it says, "Ye are not your own." And this morning, I want to preach a very specific sermon and a very important sermon, I believe, something we teach about and preach here. And I've mentioned it before in sermons, and I've had several people ask me about it or question. I thought, it's been a while since I preached an entire sermon on this subject. So I thought, I better just go ahead and preach it just to kind of teach. Now, here's what you got to understand. First of all, we're going to look at a lot of Bible, which is no different than we normally do. Praise the Lord. Secondly, the sermon this morning is considered by many very controversial, considered by many offensive. But to that I say again, it's normal around here. So, but I want you to go into the sermon, because sometimes people get offended because they've never heard something. They've never been taught something. And I always ask this question, if you've never been taught, and the first time you hear something, don't get offended. It's not your fault if you've never been taught. But I want you to just listen to the entire sermon, have an open heart, look at the references, move along with us, and make, a decision or whatever you think about the sermon at the end. But today, I want to preach on the subject of attire and appearance. How you look and how you dress your body. Now, here's the thing. Immediately, when I preach a sermon like that, when I say a sermon like that, people will often say to me, God doesn't really care what you look like. God doesn't really care what you're wearing. God doesn't really care about your clothes. He only cares about your heart. And He only cares about, as long as you glorify Him in your spirit. And I will say that God is more interested in your heart and what goes on in your spirit than He is what goes on outside of your body. But let me tell you something. Look at verse number 19 again. Look at what it says. It says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God?" And look what he says. "And ye are not your own." The Bible says your body does not belong to you. It says ye are not your own. Look at verse 20. It says, "For ye are bought with a price." See, when you got saved, the Bible says that you were purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you were bought with His blood. With His blood you were redeemed. And it says, "You're not your own, for ye are bought with a price." Look what it says. "Therefore glorify God in your," what's the next word? "Body. And in your spirit, which are God's." According to the Bible, God expects you to glorify Him with your body and spirit. It's not just about your heart. It's not just about the inward man. It's also about what the outward man. And God says you ought to glorify God with your body and in spirit, which are God's. Some people minimize the body. Well, as long as you glorify God in your spirit. Well, the Bible says you glorify God in your body. Notice God's order. He puts things in perfect order. We believe the Bible is perfect and inspired, and God has everything in the right order. And He says, you glorify God in your body, comma, and in your spirit. He's interested in how your body glorifies Him. How your body looks, how you dress your body, and how you appear. And I want to preach this morning on the subject just on three different categories that you ought to consider from the Bible when it comes to your appearance, to your wardrobe, to your attire. Go with me quickly to the book. We're going to look at a lot of passages this morning. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. You're there in 1 Corinthians. Just go towards the end in your New Testament there. Go past the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. You'll find the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And look at verse number 9. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and look at verse number 9. When it comes to your clothes, when it comes to your wardrobe, God wants your clothes to be modest. God wants your clothes to be modest. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 9. Look what the Bible says. In like manner also, that women, and God here singles out the women, and we'll see here in a second, it's not just about women, but He singles out the women because I guess it's an easy illustration. But He says in verse 9, and by the way, let me say this. Whenever I preach a sermon, you know, I have no idea who's showing up, when they're showing up. And that's why I ask, I just pray to God, He gives me the sermon, and that's why I ask, you know, open your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to work, and you look at the Scriptures, and we don't have any rules at our church. People often ask me, well, how should I dress for church? I always tell people this, we don't have any rules. You can dress however you want. And I mean that. I mean, I'd rather you be in church than not be in church because, well, I didn't have a tie to put on. You know, who cares about that? But I'm still going to preach the Bible. And look at what the Bible says. Verse 9, 1 Timothy 2:9. It says, in like manner also, it says that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. That word modest there, the definition is showing a moderate or humble estimate of oneself. It means free from vanity, egotism, and boastfulness. Free from showy extravagance. That's what the word modest means. It says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Look what it says. With shamefacedness. You say, what does that word shamefacedness mean? It means modest. It means bashful. It means not showing off. It means not being pride. If you're bashful, that's the opposite of being arrogant. It says that in like manner also that women adorn themselves, talking about how they dress, how they adorn themselves, in modest apparel. He says, I want your apparel, I want your clothes to be modest, I want it to be humble, I want it to be free from vanity, egotism, boastfulness. He says, with shamefacedness, he says, I want you to be bashful, not arrogant, and sobriety. That word sobriety means sober. It means serious. It means temperate or moderation. With sobriety. And look what he says. Not, and he begins to give you the example of what he doesn't want you to look like. He says, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence. Look what it says. With all subjection. The Bible says that when we look at your wardrobe, when you wake up in the morning, ladies, and you think to yourself, how am I going to dress today? I'd like to dress in a way that's been glory to God. God says, here's what I want you to wear. First point, you got to make sure your clothes are modest. And here's what you got to understand. Today we live in a society where everybody's a supermodel. Everybody wants to show off. Everybody wants to, you know, bring the center of attention. You want to be able to walk in a room and you know, just everybody, wow, look at how they're dressed. Wow, look at that. And God says, hey, and you're, see, here's what you understand. The outside ought to represent the inside. When people see you in the outside, it ought to show them what you have to show them from the inside. And in your Christian life, God tells us, hey, it's not about you. It's not about, you know, who you know or who you knows you or about you getting the glory. It's all about God. Remember the quote we saw there? You know, a man can do anything if he doesn't care who gets the credit. We ought to be humble before God. And God says, in your clothing, you ought to be the same way. Your clothes ought not bring attention to you. Your clothes ought not bring attention to, wow, look at that person. Look how fancy they are. Look how much money they've got. And look how good they look. You ought to wear modest clothing that shows off a meek and quiet spirit. That's what the Bible says. Modest means not flashy. Not bringing attention to yourself. Now listen to me very carefully. This does not mean ugly. Okay? People have this idea. Well, if I'm going to dress modest, I got to look like the bag lady. You know, I got to look like a homeless person. That's not what the Bible is talking about. Hey, you can look nice. The Bible talks very much about women in the Bible who were pleasing to the eye, who were beautiful. The Bible talks about Esther and certain women in the Bible who, there's nothing wrong with, I mean, God made you. Hey, you ought to take pride in yourself. And you ought to, you know, comb your hair and look nice. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing sinful about that. But your life ought not revolve around you, where all that matters is what I look like. That's what the Bible says. Amen. This doesn't mean ugly. It just means not flashy. It means not having attention. You know, if people have this idea, well, if I dress modest, it means I got, you know, I just got to look, you know, bad all the time. That's not what we're talking about. But you ought to look nice. I think you should look nice. You know, people sometimes they say to me, you know, in your church I notice that you wear a shirt and tie, and you know, I went over to Rick Warren's church or whoever's church, you know, and he preaches in a Hawaiian shirt and shorts. You know, they're more casual. Well, look, the reason I dress the way I dress for church is because of this. If the governor invited me to his, you know, I often use this illustration. If the governor invited me to his house, if the president invited me to his house, you know, how would I dress? They wouldn't even let me in the... You think they'd let me in the Oval Office wearing a Hawaiian shirt and flip-flops and shorts? They'd be like, hey, no. You're here to meet with the president. You're at the president's house. You're in the White House. You know, everybody that goes to meet the president in his house is wearing a nice shirt, a nice tie, you know, clean clothes. Because why? Respect for the office. And let me tell you something. If we have that much respect for the house of a man who happens to be the president, why not have that much respect for the house of God? When you're meeting with God, and when you're meeting with God's people, and when you're going to open up God's word, hey, I just think, hey, if I put on a shirt and tie to get married, if I put on a shirt and tie to go take pictures of my family, if I put on a shirt and tie to go meet a president who's a man, who's a sinner, hey, I'm going to dress up and look nice for church. I believe that. You know, I don't think you should come to church, you know, dressed like you just rolled out of bed and, you know, just, I had a long night. But let me tell you something. It's okay to dress nice. But you ought not dress flashy. Look at how I'm dressed today. Would anybody say I'm dressed ugly?
No.
I didn't say what anybody said if I'm ugly. That's a different question. I said, you know, don't answer that question. We all know the answer to that already. But look, hey, I think I'm dressed nice, but am I dressed flashy? Now look, I've seen preachers walk into their pulpit wearing a red suit with a coat that comes to here, white pinstripe, red leather, you know, shoes, a red hat with a big old, you know, that's kind of flashy, don't you think? I mean, that's kind of like, hey, look at me, all the rings and all the chains and hey, look at how much money I got, you know, walking, you know, get to church in their Bentley. Hey, now look, that's flashy. You know, it's funny. I often tell the story. There's a preacher called Clef O'Dollar. And he was on the... And if you get offended because I call out preachers, you know, sorry. I'm not sorry. You know, I guess, whatever. But, you know, there's a preacher on TV called Clef O'Dollar. And I don't even own a TV, but I used to, you know, back when I was a kid and we had a TV in our house, I used to see him on TV. And this guy always... I mean, he had rings, he had the nicest suits, he had the nicest everything. I mean, he was like, whoa, this guy has money. I was like, is his name actually Clef O'Dollar or did he change that? You know, that's crazy. This guy is nice. And then I remember there came a time when his church got sued because of tax evasion. And, you know, they were saying that he was taking all his money. I don't know if he was doing it or not, but he was going to court for it. I remember he was in an interview right before he went into court, and I saw the way he was dressed, and here's how he was dressed. A plain black suit, a white shirt, a black tie to go to church, to go to the courthouse.
Yeah.
To tell him, no, I don't steal money. Whoa, why don't you show up the way you show up to church with the feather and the red hat and the leather boots? You know, because he understands, hey, if I'm going to go tell these people, I'm not all about money, I better not dress too flashy. I'm not saying you got to look like the bad woman. I'm not saying you got to look bad, but I'm saying, hey, the Bible says you ought to be modest. That's what the Bible says. Look at 1 Peter, chapter number 3. You're there in 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Peter. Go towards the end of your New Testament. 1 Peter, chapter number 3. Look at verse 3. 1 Peter, chapter number 3. Look at verse 3. Now look, what I'm preaching right now would not fly in the average church. It split the average church. But you know what? Somebody in America today has got to stand up for this King James Bible and preach the Word of God and not be afraid to stand up. The Bible says when you preach, do not be afraid of their faces. It says to cry aloud and spare not. It says to be instant. And somebody's got to do it. And if no one's going to do it, we'll do it here at Verity Baptist Church. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 3. Look what it says. Look at verse 3. God thought it was so important, He even brought it up again. 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse 3, look what He says. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on apparel. And look, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with putting on a nice ring. But He's not saying you can't do your hair. He's saying, look, you ought not be adorning yourself so that everybody's just impressed with you. Look at verse 4. But let it be, look what he says, let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God, great price. You know what, you know the words that the Bible uses to describe women? Read Proverbs 31, we talk about the virtuous woman. Read 1 Timothy, where we just were. 1 Peter. Oftentimes, God uses this analogy. He says, a godly woman ought to have a meek and quiet spirit. You know what we have in America? to church here and they just want to yap their mouth and do, well, I don't agree with this, and I don't agree with that, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. Well, hey, if you don't like it, go somewhere else. The Bible says meek and quiet spirit. You know what describes my wife so perfectly and elegant? Is this. Meek and quiet spirit. If you look at my wife, number one, she's beautiful. Number one, she's always dressed nice, but never flashy. And the two words I would use to describe her is meek and quiet spirit. Humble. Loving. Loves the Lord. Loves her husband, kinda. Loves her kids. That's what I have to describe you. That's what describes you. And by the way, go with me to Leviticus chapter number 19. Real quickly, Leviticus chapter number 19. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter number 19. Leviticus chapter number 19. Look at verse 28. Leviticus chapter number 19, look at verse 28. By the way, let me say this. This issue of modesty, that's what's wrong with the tattoos of today. Because, explain to me, there's two things wrong with the tattoos of today. Number one, tattoos are designed to bring attention to your flesh. That's the point. You're marking up your body so people can look at your body. And oftentimes it's in inappropriate places, and we'll get to that in a second. But not only that, look at Leviticus 19:28. Look at what it says. Leviticus chapter number 19, look at verse 28. Look at what the Bible says. It says, he shall not round the corners of your head. I'm sorry, I'm reading verse 27. Neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. And by the way, that's talking about you ought not, you know, be putting all these crazy designs in your beard and all these crazy things like these rappers do. I'm going to make this zigzag. Bible says, hey, if you're going to grow a beard, let it grow naturally. Sometimes people think that I'm growing like this goatee or something. For some odd reason, I'm a Hispanic. First of all, I don't grow a lot of hair. And when I do, it grows like this. If I just let my hair grow, which my wife would not like that, I'd grow, what are those beards called when it goes like this and it goes all the way down like that? What are those called? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, it's a goatee, but when it goes all the way down, there's a specific name for that. But anyway, you know, you ought to just let your beard grow naturally. That's what the Bible says. He says, thou shalt not mar the corners of thy beard. Look at verse 28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. Look what it says. Nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. The Bible says, God said, I don't want you to put cuttings in your flesh. I don't want you to print any marks upon you. He said, here's what God is saying. He's saying, God said, I made you. I created you. I owned you. If I wanted you to have a picture of the, you know, rap star on your shoulder, I would have put it there. I don't want you to have it. Don't put it on there. Because it takes away from the modesty of your body. If I wanted you to have a picture of a little fairy on your back, I would have put that there. I don't want it, so don't put it. He says, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. And it goes back to modesty. A tattoo is designed. And look, let me tell you something. If you have a tattoo, first of all, if you have a tattoo, I don't know it. And I don't care. A tattoo is like any sin. You say, well, I got a tattoo before. It's like any sin. Ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and don't do it again. You know? If you've got $10 billion, then, you know, have it taken off. But that's how much it costs to have it taken off. And you better be very careful before you go run out and get tattoos that are permanent. I see these people, you know, and they're 25 years old, all muscular, you know, kind of like me, all muscular, and they put this tattoo here and this tattoo there. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to be 25 your whole life, man. That skin's going to get saggy real soon. and you're going to look like an idiot. And that's the truth. These people get these earrings, get it all big. You know, I don't want the grandparents of my children to have these big old ears. I'm cool. Ridiculous. I said number one, when you're dressing your body, when you're looking at your appearance, number one, you ought to consider modesty. Number two, you ought to consider nakedness. Nakedness. Go with me to the book of Revelation. Last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter number 3. Look at verse 14. Very interesting thing that the Bible says here. Revelation chapter number chapter number 3. Look at verse number 14. Look at what the Bible says. Revelation chapter number 3. Look at verse 14. Look what the Bible says. Revelation's last verse in the Bible. Chapter number 3. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. This is Jesus Christ in His glorified body speaking to the church of the Laodiceans. That's a city. And to the church in that city. Look what He says in verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And look what it says, look at verse 17. And knowest not, he says, you don't even know that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind. Look at the last two words of that verse. And naked. Jesus Christ looked at a bunch of Christians, a church in Laodicea. He said, you don't even know that you're naked. You say, how is that? How could someone walk around naked and not know? Well, here's what you're going to understand. Today's society, description of what nakedness is a far cry from what the Bible tells us nakedness is. And let me show you. Go with me to Exodus chapter number 28. Exodus chapter number 28. Exodus chapter number 28. Today people say, practically being naked, today being naked is just not having any clothes on. If you take all your clothes off, you're naked. That's today's standard. But let's look at what the Bible says nakedness is. I mean, do we believe the Bible is the Word of God? Do we believe the Bible is true? Do we believe that the Bible, that says what it means and it means what it says? Look at what it says. Exodus chapter number 28, second book in the Bible. Exodus chapter number 28, look at verse 42. Exodus chapter number 28, look at verse 42. Look what it says. Exodus 28:42. It says, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. Do that. I want you to make them breeches. That's a pair of pants, by the way. We'll talk about that in a little bit. He says, to cover their nakedness. And look what he says. He's going to explain to us what the Bible definition of nakedness is. From the loins, even unto the thigh, they shall reach. He said, from the loins, even unto the thigh. He said, what's the loins? The loins are the parts of the body between the hips. Think about this. Between your hips and lower than your ribs, where your reproductive organs are. Is that clear enough? You understand what I'm saying? He says nakedness is from your loins. Everybody says, well, of course that's nakedness. Okay, well, look what it says. Verse 42. From thy loins even unto the, what does it say? Thighs. They shall reach. God says, I want you to cover your nakedness. I want you to cover your loins.
Well, everybody's like, well, of course.
But he says, to your thigh. Well, yeah, you're a little old-fashioned. God. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 47. Look what it says. Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah is the first major book, major prophet. Big book in the Bible. Isaiah 47, look at verse 1. Isaiah 47, look at verse 1. Look what the Bible says. Look what the Bible says. Isaiah 47, 1. Look what it says. Isaiah 47, 1. You there yet? Isaiah 47, 1. Look what it says. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. He's talking to a female. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Notice what he said. Isn't that how you want your daughter described? Tender and delicate. But he says, this virgin daughter of Babylon shall no more be called tender and delicate. Why, God? Look at verse 2. Take the millstone and grind meal. Look what he says. Uncover thy locks, talking about your head, your hair. Make bare the leg. Look what it says. Uncover the thigh. Look what it says. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Verse 3. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. So in verse 2 he said, uncover your thigh. In verse 3 he says, your nakedness shall be uncovered. Well, when her nakedness was uncovered, what part of her body was uncovered? Her thigh. According to the Bible, your loins to your thigh is nakedness. Let me give you another example. Go with me to Isaiah chapter number 20. Look at verse 4. Isaiah chapter number 20. Look at verse 4. You say, Pastor, this is so, this one's going to be so, so obvious. Well, we'll see if it's obvious. Isaiah chapter number 20. Look at verse 4. Look what it says. Isaiah chapter number 20. Look at verse 4. It says, you're there in Isaiah already, so just go back a few chapters. Isaiah chapter number 20, look at verse 4. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopian captives, young and old. Look what he says. Naked and barefoot. So he's saying this king's going to come, he's going to imprison you guys, he's going to lead you away as captives out of your nation, and when he's leading you away, he's going to leave you naked and barefoot. That's a pretty normal thing they would do in those days. Whenever they had prisoners of war, they would take off their clothes, they take off their feet, their shoes as a way to humiliate them, and they would make them march, you know, back into captivity, naked and barefoot. And God is telling them, hey, you're going to be naked and barefoot, and then he explains to them exactly what he means by that. Look what it says, even with their buttocks uncovered. To the shame of Egypt. Well, Pastor, that's so obvious. Of course your rear end is your nakedness. Because God makes sure to let us know. Because see, the Bible says no dictionary. So when you look at, when the Bible says nakedness in the Bible, he's talking about your loins, your thigh, and your rear. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, let's apply it. This is why Christians, biblically, should not wear bikinis. Oh, I can't wear a bikini? Well, let me ask you this. If you're wearing a bikini, are you uncovering your thigh? See, this is why Christians... I know of churches that have youth groups where it's, you know, Bible study around the pool night. And we're going to have pool time. And all these little Christian girls walk in on their with their bikinis to church to have their little Bible study. And God looks down from heaven and he says, man, how could it be that these Christians are naked and they don't even know it? Your thigh being naked, gets rid of your bikinis. And by the way, most bikinis show your rear end. They show your buttocks. That's nakedness. Hey, this gets rid of your short shorts. Hey, this gets rid of your mini skirts. Hey, this gets rid of anything that shows your thigh or your buttocks or your loins. It's nakedness. And yet Christians today are walking around in church, many of them, showing off their nakedness. And God's thinking to himself, how could it be that these Christians are walking around naked and they don't even know? Well, it's because they've gotten away from the Bible. See, we need a revolution back to the Bible. I know what the society says. I know if the average person would think I'm insane for preaching this. The average person would think you need to go into an insane asylum. I don't care. I preach the Bible. I believe God's Word. And somebody's got to stand up for this.
Amen.
The Bible says it's nakedness. My wife believes it so much, she doesn't even wear knee-length skirts. You say, well, knee-length skirts is allowed, Pastor, because it goes to your knee, covers your thigh. Well, here's the thing. Yeah, it covers your thigh while you're standing. And then you sit down. You know, your knee-length skirt, and then you sit down. And most of you, because you got to make sure you get all that attention. What are you showing? Your thigh. What are you showing? Your nakedness. And you don't even know. When you're glorifying God with your body and you're getting dressed, you ought to consider, number one, modesty. You ought to consider, number two, nakedness. You ought to wear skirts that cover your thigh, that cover your nakedness. And by the way, let me say this. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. This goes with modesty and nakedness. A Christian should not wear anything that might cause someone from the opposite sex to lust after them. Hey, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about short skirts. I'm talking about low-cut shirts. I'm talking about revealing your body. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 27. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 27. Now, before we read this verse, let me explain to you something. In the Old Testament, adultery was a crime worthy of death. Did you know that? In the Old Testament, if you were caught in adultery, you were stoned to death. You didn't just get a divorce. You were killed. It was the death penalty. So, I've never heard that before. Do you remember when they brought the adulterous woman to Jesus and they said, you know, should we stone her? Because they got that from the Old Testament. And some of you are going to say, well, Jesus, and I preached an entire sermon on that. I explained that already. I'm not going to take time to do that. You can watch, you know, look that up online and figure it out. Read your Bible. But look at Matthew chapter number 5. Look at verse 27. Look what Jesus said. Matthew chapter number 5. Verse 27. Good night. I have this. Oh, there it is. Matthew 5, 27. Look what he says. This is Jesus preaching. This is a great, you know, this is the sermon, the Beatitudes, that great sermon that Jesus preached. Look what he says. Tell me if Jesus was the type of preacher that's on TV today. Look what he said. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. And everybody's like, yeah, adultery's bad. Look what he says, verse 28. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her, he hath committed adultery. The Bible says if you just look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery. Now here's where the average woman says, amen, pastor. You get on those guys. You know, it's their fault. They looked at me. I didn't tell them to look at me. Look, finish the verse. Read it in context. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed rape. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't. Look what it says. To lust after her hath committed adultery. Don't miss this word. With her. Already in his heart. You know what that with means? It means you took a part in that. You know what that with means? It means you had a part in that adultery. You know what that with means? It means when you woke up and you put on that little skirt and you put on that little low, you know, shirt so you can show off your body and you put on that tight little, you know, dress on that you gotta be poured into because you can barely get into it, you know, and you put on all those clothes and you walked in, you know, and all these men are looking at you. I ain't time to look at me. Well, God said when you gave him something to look at, you took part in that adultery. You took part in that lust. You took part in that wickedness. Pastor, this is not going to help our church grow. I'm not trying to get our church to grow. That's God's job. My job is to preach the Bible. And if I end up preaching to my wife and kids, then praise God, they're at least going to learn the Bible. The Bible says that when you allow yourself to man to lust after you, you took part in that adultery. But you know who will never take part in adultery? Or at least never take part that's their fault? Is a woman who's dressed modestly, covering up her nakedness. If a man lusts after you, and you're dressed modestly, and you've got your nakedness covered up, then hey, that's their problem. They're a sick puppy. But if you're exposing yourself, God says he's committed adultery with her already in his heart. I said number one, when you're dressing your body, you got to consider modesty. I said number two, when you're dressing your body, you ought to consider nakedness. Number three, when you're dressing your body, you ought to consider identity. Identity. So what are you talking about? One of the purposes that God gave us clothing is to identify your gender. Clothes that identify gender. Go with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter number 22. We've got the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 22. Keep your heart open. Let the Holy Spirit, you know, if I'm preaching something that's not in the Bible, then you tell me. But I'm pretty sure everything I've talked about is straight out of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter number 22. Who's ever been to a Starbucks? I hate Starbucks, by the way. I know people like Starbucks, and we gave out Starbucks cards. My wife likes Starbucks, whatever. I can't stand Starbucks. Because, you know, you say, why don't you like Starbucks? The first time I ever walked in Starbucks my whole entire life, I walked into Starbucks, and there was these two things in front of me in line. I said, why do you call them things? Well, they were a couple because they were holding hands. But you ever look at a couple and you can't tell? I wonder which one's the guy and which one's the girl. Because, you know, the guy's hair is a little long, the girl's hair is a little short. They're both wearing the tight, skinny jeans, you know. And they got, and you're thinking to yourself, man, I think that's the girl. I don't know, that whole experience kind of threw me off of Starbucks. But look what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Look at verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Look at verse 5. Are you there yet? Deuteronomy 22, 5. Look what the Bible says. Look what the Bible says. The woman... Now, by the way, let me say this. I didn't sneak around on Saturday night and put this in your Bible. Okay, this was already there. Deuteronomy 22, 5. I love my King James Bible. The woman... Look what it says. Shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are, look at this word, abomination unto the Lord thy God. You know that word abomination is a very severe word that the Bible uses. You know that God uses that word abomination to describe the queers and the homosexuals in the Bible? And God said in Deuteronomy 25, he said, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Hey, Pastor, I don't understand. Well, we got to understand the first phrase. The first phrase says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. So according to the Bible, there is a type of clothing that pertains to a man and not a woman. Now let me ask you, what is that clothing? Is it socks?
It's pants. Jeans.
Is it? Well, that's it. Yo, that's good. Amen. Gave it away. So it's not socks, right? It's not shirts, right? Do women wear socks? I'm not sure. Do they wear socks? I think
yeah.
they do. Do women wear shirts? I think women wear shirts. Is it shoes? Women wear a lot of shoes. We know that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's answer this. Keep looking at the verse. It says, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. It says, neither shall a man put on... So there's a type of clothing that women wear that men should not wear. And there's a type of clothing that women wear that men should not wear. Now, what do women wear that men shouldn't wear? Is it socks? Is it shirts? Is it hats? It's a wristwatch. You know, my four-year-old, who's learning how to read, by the way, he can read three-letter words. And for a four-year-old, that's pretty good. Three-letter words. I mean, the average four-year-old, you know, can't read a three, you know, can't read yet. But my four-year-old son can't read more than three-letter words. Yet, when we're at restaurants or the airport or something like that, he can identify for me. He says, Daddy, I have to go pile. And usually I'll take him to the restroom, and there'll be two doors in front of us. One for the men and one for the women. Now, my son can't read. And he'll be able to identify for me. I say to him, son, which one is for the men, which one's for the women? He's always get the right. He always points at the right one. You say, how is that? Well, just think about, and every once in a while I like to use props in my sermon. Think about the universal, worldwide, universal symbol for men's restroom and women's restroom. I got a little prop for you just in case you can't remember. My son is able to look at which figure is on which door and identify, Daddy, that's for us. That one's for Mommy. Now explain to me, what's the difference between these two? Is it the fact that they both have heads? They both have heads, right? Well, I know, is that they both have arms? No, they both have arms. Oh, what is it? Is that they both have legs? No. Here's how you can tell the difference, which one's for men and which one's for women. One is wearing a skirt or a dress, and the other one is not. Now, let me ask you something. If you came to church on Sunday morning, do you understand what I'm saying? If you came to church on Sunday morning, you're sitting there having your coffee and donuts and fellowshipping and talking, and Pastor Jimenez walks down the stairs wearing my wife's most beautiful Sunday dress. Would you think that's a little odd? Would you think that's a little odd? What would you call that? You'd call that cross-dressing. You'd say, I'm out of here. This is not... What, are we in San Francisco? Are we in Sodom and Gomorrah? You say, no, that's a little weird, Pastor. You ought not be wearing a skirt and a dress. That's an apparel that's for women. And I would say, amen. Praise the Lord. But on the flip side, women put on pants every day. And you know what God calls that? Cross-dressing. Look at Deuteronomy 22:5. Look what it says. Pastor, I've never heard this before. Then don't be embarrassed. If you never heard, no one's ever taught you this, then praise the Lord. Someone's teaching it to you now. Look at verse 5. The woman, look what it says. This is a command. Shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Says, for all that do so are abominations. Notice it. He didn't say doing it is an abomination. He says, if you do it, you are an abomination. For all that do so are abominations unto the Lord thy God. Let me prove to you. You say, well, Pastor, that's just one verse in the Bible. Okay. You know I got more verses than that. Leviticus chapter number 6. You're there in Deuteronomy? Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So go back two books. Leviticus chapter number 6, verse 10. Do we all agree that a skirt is something only a woman should wear?
Yes. Yeah.
Let me prove to you from the Bible that pants are only something men should wear. Look at Leviticus chapter number 6. Look at verse 10.
Pastor, you are so crazy. You are so insane. This is so old-fashioned. This is like Little House on the Prairie. Amen and amen. You know what? We are old-fashioned. You said, how old-fashioned are you? Are you like the 60s or are you like the 50s? I'm like everlasting old-fashioned. I'm like Jesus Christ old-fashioned. I'm like Abraham old-fashioned. I'm like Adam and Eve old-fashioned. I'm like from the beginning old-fashioned. I'm as old-fashioned as this book is right here. Look what it says, Leviticus chapter number 6, look at verse 10. Leviticus chapter number 6, look at verse 10. The Bible says this, and the priest shall put on his linen garment. Notice that. God is telling a priest how he ought to dress. He says, the priest shall put on, look at this, he's talking to men, linen garment. The word garment there is referring to his clothing, a coat. And his linen breeches. That word breeches is an old word for britches. Today, we spell that word B-R-I-T-C-H-E-S. Britches, look it up in the dictionary, means pants. God told him to put on his linen garment and his linen pair of pants, breeches. shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed, which the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. God told the priest in the Old Testament, he says, when you're doing the office of a priest, I want you to put on some clothes, I want you to put on garments, and by the way, since you're a man, put on a pair of pants. Very interesting, isn't it? You're there in Leviticus chapter 6, go to Leviticus 16. Look what it says. Don't let the Bible offend you. Leviticus chapter number 16, look at verse 4. Leviticus chapter number 16, look at verse 4. Look what the Bible says. Leviticus chapter number 16, look at verse 4. Look what it says. Leviticus 16, 4. He, is that a man or a woman? It's a man. He shall put on the holy linen coat. He's talking about putting a coat on. And put on the holy, and he shall have the linen breeches, that's a pair of pants, breeches, upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle. You know what that means? He says, put a belt on. You know what I like to tell all these little ghetto kids running around with their pants halfway down their rear end? I like to say, hey, put on a belt. Pick up your pants. That's what he said. That's what the Bible says. That's offensive to me. Well, then the Bible's offending you. He shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. He says, this is how I want you to dress. I want you to be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. Notice that God said he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches. That's a pair of pants. Go with me to Ezekiel, chapter number 44. Ezekiel, towards the end of the New Testament, you go past the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, past the small book of Lamentations, and you got the big book of Ezekiel. Right before you get into the minor prophets, those are the prophets with the smaller books. Ezekiel, chapter number 44, look at verse 18. Ezekiel, chapter number 44, look at verse 18. Look what the Bible says. Ezekiel, chapter number 4, look at verse 18. Listen up. Ezekiel chapter number 44, look at verse 18. We have coffee and donuts to fellowship. It's preaching time. Listen up. Ezekiel chapter 44, look at verse 18. Look at what it says. Ezekiel 44, 18. Look what the Bible says. I want you to see it. Don't miss it. I love this old-fashioned preaching. You know what I love? I love that when, and I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, but Deborah heard me preach something like this a while when she first started coming. And she said, you know what? That's exactly what my grandfather used to preach. Didn't you tell me that, Deborah? And I said, praise the Lord. Say, that's old-fashioned. Ezekiel chapter 44, look at verse 18. Her grandpa used to be a preacher. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 44, look at verse 18. Ezekiel 44, 18. Don't miss the word of God. Look what it says. Ezekiel 44, 18. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and shall have linen, what does it say? Breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat. All over the Bible, God is telling, and I just picked out a few verses. We could be here all night looking at this. All over the Bible, God is telling men, put on a pair of pants. Men, put on a pair of pants. Men, put on a pair of pants. And by the way, the pants he's describing are like long shorts, because they say they go down to cover your thigh. Go with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel, you're there in Ezekiel? Just go to the very next book. Daniel, chapter number 3. Daniel, chapter number 3. Look at verse 1. Daniel chapter number 3. Look what the Bible says. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Duran in the province of Babylon. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong verse. I said Daniel 3:1. I meant Daniel 3:21. I apologize. Daniel 3:21. Look what it says. Daniel 3:21. Then these men. We're talking about men, right? Then these men were bound in their coat. This is talking about the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before they got thrown into the fiery furnace. Look at this. They were bound in their coats, so they were in coats. Their hosen, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I think I am. I can't get the German accent right. Do you know what hosen are? You ever heard of that? Hosen is an old Germanic word used in both German and modern English to mean pants. Although we don't use it, the word hosen in contemporary English anymore. You've ever heard of hosen? You know, the English people, they put on their hosen, that's pants. He said they were bound in their coats, and their hosen, and their hats, and their garment. Man, they sure seem to be dressed just like the priests were, with their hat, and their coat, and their pants. And were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. All over the Bible, here's what you have. All over the Bible, you find God telling men to put on a pair of pants. I dare you. show me a verse in the Bible where God is telling women to put on their a pair of pants. It never happens. Never happens. God never, in the Bible, tells a woman to put on a pair of pants. Just as much as women should wear dresses, men should not wear dresses. Men should wear pants and women should not. Period. I prove that from the Bible. I'm not saying that to offend you. I'm not saying that to make you feel bad. I'm saying that to try to teach you the Bible. It's simple to understand. Just, when you go to the bathroom, they should remind you. Which was men? Which was women? You know there was a time in this country when women did not wear pants? Period. Mm-hmm. Ever. You know there was a time in this country when women wore dresses and skirts? And other people say to me all the time, well, if I wear pants, I'm going to do this certain activity, and I can't do it modestly. You know, there was a time in this country when women wore pants, they rode horses wearing skirts. They rode, you know, they did all sorts. They worked in the farm wearing dresses. You say, how'd they do it? Well, you're not going to do it with your little maid skirt, okay? That's going to be very modest. You know what they wore back in those days? Long, modest, flowing dresses, and they could do it. You know, my wife does not own a pair of pants, period. She doesn't own one. Well, how does she go to the snow? If we go to the snow, she puts on pants with a skirt over. Well, how does she ride this? And you know, and if she can't do, and we've never found an activity she could not do because she wears skirts. But you know what? If there is an activity out there that she can't do wearing a skirt or wearing a dress, then you know what? She just won't do it. Because it's more godly to follow the Bible than to do your little activity. If you can't do it modestly, if you can't do it without breaking God's word, then you ought not do it. And that's not just clothes, that's everything. Well, pastor, I can't do this one activity without being in sin. Well, then don't do it. You know, that applies to everything. People often say to me, I got a job at the liquor store, but I can't do that job without selling liquor. Then get another job. Follow the word of God. Follow the Bible. We need a generation of Christians who are going to have a revolution back to the Bible. Have a revolution back to the Bible. I said, number one, you got to look at your... When you're looking at how to dress, you got to look at, number one, modesty. Number two, nakedness. I said, number three, identity. Let me show you a few more things. We're almost done. Not really, but just believe that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Well, we are almost done. As long as you move quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Pastor, are you going to preach really long? Well, if you're with us on Wednesday night, do you remember when Paul was preaching and he preached till midnight? And then someone fell out the window and then he started preaching again and he preached, the Bible says, till daybreak? You go, why do you preach so long? Because he has something to say. Pastor, why do you preach so long? Because I got something to say. I know this is not your 25-minute sermonette. I know this church isn't your 45-minute rock concert and your 15-minute sermonette where the pastor makes you feel good. But here's the difference. We're trying to teach you something. We're trying to show you something. Just follow along. Don't get offended. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, look at verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, look at verse... Actually, look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11, look at verse 1. Look what the Bible says. Be followers of men, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep ordinances as I delivered them to you. And by the way, let me say this. I know my brain's kind of scattered right now. Let me tell you this. You know that I never told my wife to get rid of her pair of pants? By the way, you know, she got rid of her pair of pants way before we were married. And it was a decision she made on her own. It's something she decided to do. Because she loves God. Because she read her Bible. Because she understood it. Look at verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11, look at verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The word head there is talking about your leader. It says the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Oh, brother. Pastor, are you just going to be offensive in every point this morning? I guess the word of God is offensive. I guess that's a little old-fashioned. The head of the woman is the man, according to the Bible. And the head of Christ is God. Every man, look what it says, verse 4. Praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Okay, do you understand? Are you following along? He says, the head of Christ is God. So God's, Jesus' head, or his boss, is God. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is her man. But he said in verse 4, every man praying or prophesying, having his head, talking about his physical head, covered, dishonoreth his head. So if you cover your head, you're dishonoring your head. So if a man prays or prophesies with his head covered, he's dishonoring. his head, Jesus Christ. You say, what is that talking about? It'll make sense in a second. Look at verse 5. But every woman, so now we're talking about the woman, that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered. Notice the difference. Dishonoreth her head. Who's her head? Her husband. So he says, if a man has his head covered, he dishonors his head, Jesus Christ. If a woman has her head uncovered, she dishonors her head, her husband. For that is even all one as if she were, make note of this word, shaven. That word's there for a reason. We'll get to it. Look at verse 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, verse 5 again, dishonor their head, that is, the word that is there is talking about, praying. Saying, look, if you're going to pray with your head uncovered, you even all one as if she were shaven. You know what he's saying? He's saying, if you're going to pray with your head uncovered, you might as well just shave your head. Follow along. Look at verse 6. Hopefully I'm not losing you. For if the woman be not covered, let her be shorn. That word shorn there, you know what the word shorn means? It means like when you go in the military and they give you your first haircut, that's shorn. You ever heard of shearing sheep? It's talking about buzzing him off. Shearing, shorn, same word. He says, if a woman be not covered, he said, if a woman's not going to be covered, let her also be shorn. He said, she might as well be just shaved, shorn. Notice how he keeps using those words. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. He said, look, if it's a shame for a woman to have her head shaved or shorn, he said, let her be covered. He said, cover her up, cover her head. Look at verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. Are you understanding what he's saying? He's saying man should not cover his head for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. So he keeps saying the man should not have his head covered. The woman should have her hair covered. If the woman doesn't have her hair covered, she might as well shave or shorn her head. Look at verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head. So he said, the woman has power. That's talking about control on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Saying, hey, just because there's an authority structure, just because God put men in charge of the home, doesn't mean the man is better than woman. He said, in the Lord, you're all equal. But God said, there's got to be an authority structure. Someone's got to take the blame when things go wrong. And in the home, it's the man. Look at verse 12. And in the church, by the way, it's the leader. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also of the woman, but things of God. Judge yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? You say, Pastor Jimenez, I'm not understanding what you're talking about. Look at verse 14. It becomes real clear. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, look what it says, it is a shame unto him. The Bible says, if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. People often say to me, I saw Jesus. He appeared to me in my room. And I'll ask him this, was his hair long or short? And they'll say, his hair was long, and he had blue eyes, and he was wearing a skirt, you know, and he had sandals on. And I said, no, that's just a druggie in your house, man. That's not Jesus. Because according to the Bible, Jesus did not have long hair. You say, how do you know that? Because 1 Corinthians 11:14 says, does not even nature itself teach you, if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. The Bible says, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Look at verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is glory to her. So a woman should have long hair. Why? For her hair is given her for a what? Covering. So this whole chapter, what was it talking about? Hair. He says, if a man has his head covered, it is a shame. If a woman have her head uncovered, it is a shame. And in verse 15, he tells us that her hair is given for covering. So what does that mean? It means if a man has his head covered with hair, it is a shame. And if a woman has her head uncovered without hair, it is a shame. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. Men ought to have short hair, and women ought to have long hair. That's what the Bible says. Say, why? To identify gender. Gender identity. You ought to be able to look at it. These people at Starbucks, that's all. The man's hair, the guy's hair was kind of long. Not that long, but kind of long. And the girl's hair was kind of short. And they looked the same. Wearing the same type of clothes. Both of them wearing pants. And I thought to myself, I wonder which one's the man. I wonder which one's the female. The Bible says, Verse 14, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it is glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. One of the purposes of clothing is gender identity. I never want to be out on a date with my wife, holding hands, and have somebody look at her and me and say, I wonder which one's the man. I wonder which one's the woman. I mean, is it apparent that I'm a man this morning? Are you confused about that? Do I look like a woman to you? No. Say, well, how do you know I'm not a woman? Because my hair's short. Because I'm wearing pants. Because I got a belt on. How do you know my wife's a woman? Because her hair's long. Because she's wearing a skirt. Because her nakedness is covered. Gender identity. Let me tell you something. Today in America, the devil wants nothing more than to blend the genders, than to make this a unisex culture. Why? Because if you're not sure if that's a boy, and you're not sure if that's a girl, you might start. You to become a reprobate.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. And today people are, you're insane, Pastor. Praise the Lord. But my kids are going to grow up knowing they ought to be men.
Amen.
And my daughters, if God ever gives me the privilege of having one, is going to grow up having a meek and quiet spirit.
Amen.
Not being some loudmouth woman trying to boss her husband around. The Bible's against it. The Bible's against it. And if you don't like it, tough. I'm not here to make people like me. That's my wife's job. We had Pastor's Wife Appreciation Day a couple weeks ago. My wife got more cards and more gifts than I did. And you know what? And nicer gifts. And you know what I said to that? Praise the Lord. I love the fact that you love my wife. That's her job. My job is to do this.
Amen.
Let's deal with one more thing. Exodus 32. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians, because we're coming right back to it, okay? We're going to look at a couple more verses, that's it. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 6. Go with me to Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus chapter number 32. Look at verse 1. Exodus chapter number 32. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter number 32. Look at verse 1. Exodus chapter number 32. Look at verse 1. Gender identity. That means men wear pants and women wear skirts and dresses. That means men have short hair, women have long hair. I know you guys got caught up in the 60s and the 70s. It's all right. Get right with God. Cut your hair. You'll be all right. Men. But let's talk about one more thing. Let's talk about earrings. Exodus 32, look at verse 1. Look what the Bible says. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. Moses went up to the mount. He'd been there for 40 days and 40 nights meeting with God. God has given him the Ten Commandments. And the people start getting worried. They're saying, Moses isn't coming back. Aaron, and said unto him, up, make us gods. He said, hey, Moses isn't coming back. Can you make us an idol? Notice it's a lowercase g. That's an idol. That's not God Almighty. That's an idol god. He said, make us gods, which will go before us, for as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Look at verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, look what Aaron said. So they said, hey, can you make us a god? Because we don't know what happened to Moses. He's not coming back. Can you make us a lower G, lowercase god, an idol that we can worship? Look at verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, look what he says, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, notice what it says, and your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. Who's missing there in the family structure? All these people are wearing earrings. The wives, the sons, and the daughters. Who's missing? The dad. You know why? Traditionally in history, women wear jewelry. Traditionally in history, women wear earrings. Traditionally in history, women are the ones that try to make themselves nice. You know, there was a time in this country where men were proud to work hard and be ugly. There was a time in this country where men were proud. They weren't trying to dress themselves up. And, you know, every time I have to work in San Francisco, I'm so disgusted. Because, you know, I do fire alarm technician and sometimes I have to do jobs. And I just walk into and these men are just, you know, they got their hair all perfect. And they got their little earrings and they got their little clothes. And they're just so prim and proper. I think to myself, grow up, man. Be a man. Go get a real job. You're working at Acro. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Acro. What's that one called? A store. Good night. There you go. Who knew that? A woman. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But you see what I'm saying? I mean, good night. I mean, if you're a man in San Francisco and you're working in a woman's clothing store, In Proverbs, there's probably something wrong with you. No offense. Actually, yes offense. But you know, but here's what happened. They just came out of Egypt. Egypt represents the world. And here's what happened. These teenage boys came out of Egypt wearing earrings. And let me tell you something. It's not a coincidence. There was a time in this country when women raised their children at home. The men went to work. But then we had the sexual revolution of the 60s. And you know what happened? Women took off their skirts and put on their pants. They went to work. Boys and girls, the girls got their hands. There used to be a time in this country where little girls would go to their mom's room and she'd get into her jewelry box and they put on their earrings and they would play like they were, you know, the mom or something. And you know what happened? Around the 60s, girls stopped playing with the jewelry box of their mother and started playing with the toolbox of their fathers. And boys stopped playing with the toolbox of their fathers and started playing with the jewelry box of their mothers. And they started putting on these little cute earrings. And they started trying to dress nice and look nice. And let me tell you something. I'm not against you if you wear earrings. But let me tell you something. It's not of God. The only jewelry a man should wear is a wedding ring. Praise God.
Amen.
Take off the earring. Become a man. Why? Gender identity. That's it. And these guys say to me, you know, I don't even know. There's like this hidden rule, like, if you got the earring in the left ear, it means you're queer, but if you got it in the right ear, it means you're straight, or something like that. I don't even know, I may not have that right, because I don't know, but there's like this hidden thing about that. And people say to me, well, I wear earrings, but I got it in the right ear, so that means I'm not queer. This is what I, whenever somebody says to me, this is what I say to them. I say, okay, so you got the earring in the right ear, that means you're not a fag. But I guess that means you're just that far away from being a fag. Because it's not much to travel. Look, I don't want to be that far away from being a queer. I want to be very far away from being a queer. I want to be very far away from that sin and that disgust. Gender identity. When you wake up in the morning, go back to 1 Corinthians. Let me read a verse for you. You don't have to turn there. Genesis 1:27 says this. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. This is what the Bible says. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. This is what the Bible says. Male and female created he them. God created a male. God created a female. Leave it like that. Don't cross the genders. My wife was telling me about an article she read, or something she read, where these people had a baby. And they started dressing their baby their whole life in this unisex clothes that could be man and women. And they said, we're not going to tell our baby if it's a boy or a girl. I mean, it was born a certain gender, but we're not going to tell. They didn't tell anyone in their family it was a boy or a girl. They said, we're going to let them decide. Good night. How disgusting is that? You know what? When my sons are born, after they grow out of their little 3 weeks, when my wife finally, you know, let me touch them, you know what I put on them? A pair of jeans, and I said, that is a man. And when our other baby's born, praise God, if it's a girl, you know what she's going to be, you know what you're going to see her wearing in church? A dress. You say, a little six-week-old? Amen. And she's going to have her little ears pierced. And she's going to be quiet and beautiful and spoiled. That's the truth. Praise God.
Amen.
Go with me to 1 Corinthians. We're done here. 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. We're done here. Look what it says. After I preach a sermon like this, you have two options how to respond. You can respond like this.
I don't like that. That was offensive to me. You're crazy.
And that's fine. Yeah, I'm used to that. Every time I stand up to preach, somebody's mad at me. Good night. You know how I measure good preaching? If you guys all leave happy, I didn't do my job. You know, someone should be mad. Preaching is to rebuke. It's to exhort. That's how sometimes you need to be rebuked. Praise God. Hey, and by the way, I got a whole lot of rebuking before I was a pastor, growing up in church, listening to preaching. You say, Pastor, how do you know all this? Because somebody preached it to me. 1 Corinthians 6:19. You have this option. I don't like that at all. Or you have this option. Pastor, I've never heard that before. That's the first time I ever heard that. Man, that's crazy. But it's the Word of God. Amen. Nobody, you can't leave here today and say, I pulled something out of my thumb. I mean, how many Bible references have we looked at this morning? We looked at more Bible references this morning than the average church looks at all year. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look at verse 19. 1 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, look at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? Here's a catch. And ye are not your own. I'm going to dress how I want to dress, but you're not your own. I'm going to wear what I want to wear, but you're not your own. I'm going to do what I want to do, but you're not your own. Look at verse 20. If you're saved, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You've got to make a choice this morning. Am I going to glorify God with my body? And let me tell you something right now. I'm not saying go out and spend $1,000 on a new wardrobe. I'm anti-debt. That's not what I'm saying. But you ought to look at yourself in the mirror every day and think, am I bringing glory to God with my body? Is this modest? Is my nakedness covered? Is my gender clear? Am I bringing glory to God? Look at verse 20 again. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Don't miss these last three words. Which are God's? You belong to God. Your body belongs to God. Your spirit belongs to God. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. And Father, I know this type of preaching is not heard in the average church in America today. But Father, that's why we started this church. Because there aren't churches who are preaching the Bible. There aren't churches who are taking a stand. And Father, I pray you would help our church to be a group of people who would be receptive to your word, who would make decisions based on your word, and who would say, hey, you know what? I'm going to get back to the Bible. I'm going to get back to the word of God. Father, we love you. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.